notes. I'm going to share with you a synopsis of what is taking place in the book of Revelation that most people miss when they're reading through the book of Revelation. And what I mean by that is, if you take the book of Revelation and put the events of one chapter here, the events of the next chapter here, the next chapter here, next chapter here, before you know it, you've got all these earthquakes, you've got all these mountains being thrown in the sea, you've got all this lightning happening, you've got all these stars falling to falling from heaven, you've got all these things transpiring, and you have way too much to go into 7 years occurring. That's because each of those chapters is really talking about an entity that is going to be in place. The Lord allows John, he shows John in each chapter what is occurring in a certain entity that's going to take part in the tribulation. Now think about it like this. Here we are. This is September the 6th, Sunday, September the 6th. Around Sunday, September the 6th, at Sagemont Church, you have a life and a family, Miss Kate. You have a life and a family, and your life is going on. And over here, let's say, y'all have a life and a family, which you do, and your life's going on. And so's yours and yours and everybody in here. It's a little Peyton place. No, not Peyton place. Not that bad. But kind of, you know what I'm talking about. We've got all these stories. You watch these soap operas. Tribulation is a great soap opera because you have a story going on in this household. You've got a story going on in this household. You got a story going on here, a story going on here. And lo and behold, they're all circling around September the 6th. You see what I'm saying? Different things are occurring in different places that are all taking place on September the 6th. Well, these layers, these chapters in the book of Revelation are all taking place in and out about at the same time in the tribulation story, and they're all turning together. So I want to talk to you what they are, just so you understand. Number one, when the tribulation happens, when the church is snatched away, when the treaty is put in place, lo and behold, John is revealed to him in chapter 5 that worship of the Lord is still going to continue in heaven because he controls everything that happens during the time of the tribulation and everything else. It reveals the Lord in heaven. That's what happens in chapter 5. In chapter 6, lo and behold, at the beginning of the tribulation, which I will show you as we go through, we've got that first seal in chapter 6. Now, if any of y'all have studied the Revelation, you know that chapter 6 is about the seals. 6 of the seals, not the 7th, but 6 of the seals. Lo and behold, chapter 6 really begins at the talking about the tribulation, how it begins with seal 1, and lo and behold, it ends with seal 7, and it reveals man's involvement in this world, what people are doing, what a man is doing, or what is happening to people, while the tribulation is going on, that's what chapter 6 is about. Chapter 7 starts off about at the beginning of the tribulation with 144,000 Jews being sealed and protected from any harm. But in the midst of that same story, it goes on that by the end of the tribulation, those 144,000 are still safe, but literally many, many thousands and hundreds of thousands of people have died and are martyrs at the end of the tribulation time before the Battle of Armageddon even begins. That chapter reveals the protection of those Jews. Chapters 8 and 9 reveals the seven trumps. Now, the seven trumps are in place, and they are ready to sound at the beginning of the tribulation, but they won't sound until it's time for each one of them to sound. And lo and behold, the trumps all deal with satanic issues. When a trump happens, something bad takes place. When a trump happens, Satan's involvement is shown in chapters 8 and 9. Revelation 10. Revelation 10 is interesting because there is a chapter in the book of Daniel that is just like this chapter here in Revelation. For for John, he is writing down the visions, and an angel shows him some stuff in chapter 10 that the angel says to John, put your pen down, watch, listen. Do not record what you just saw. Do not put it down. It has to do with Israel, but do not write it down. Lo and behold, back in the book of Daniel, the same thing occurs in the book of Daniel with an angel showing Daniel the hope for Israel and what's going to take place and what the joy is going to be and what is going to be her eternity. And yet the angel says, put that pen down and do not write what I showed you. So that is a message about Israel's future to John and to John alone. And we don't know what it is. We cannot even begin to speculate what it is. We do not know. Revelation chapter 11. At the beginning of the tribulation period, two witnesses show up in Israel to minister. They're going to minister for 1,260 days. Their ministry is going to come to an end when they die and are resurrected right at the middle of the tribulation. But the effect of their ministry is going to last until the end of the tribulation time, because what's going to occur by the people of Israel, seeing them rise into the sky, will change the hearts of the Israel people, the Israeli people, to turn their lives around and to accept the Messiah that they have missed all these years. Revelation 12 introduces the woman who has 12 stars. And we know that to be because of the information that is talked about her giving birth to the son and the child and all that. That is the nation of Israel. Of course, the revelation is about Israel. And it ends with about Israel. And so all through the tribulation time, we're going to deal with this woman of Israel. And she is described and her attributes and how she has to run and how she's going to be chased and all that by evil. It's talking about Israel. Revelation 13 begins with the first beast and the second beast being introduced. And by the time of the middle of the tribulation required all the way to the end of the tribulation, if you want to do any business with the first beast or the second beast, you have to take the 666 upon you to buy, sell, and trade. And that's a revelation of Israel's enemy. And finally, chapter 14, he comes back and the story layers in another story about the 144,000 Jews that have been sealed and what's going to happen with them. They've already been talked about back in chapter 7, but now in chapter 14, we're going to revisit that 144,000 Jews. In 15 and 16, there are the seven bowls. The angel with the seven bowls of the wrath of God. These are actions of God. They're already in place at the beginning of the tribulation. They come into being and start working about halfway down into the tribulation time. And finally, as the seventh bowl ends, also ends the time of tribulation, and it reveals God's involvement in the tribulation. And then Revelation 17 and 18 tells us about this woman. It introduces us to this woman. And it ends at the end of the revelation, this woman is destroyed. This woman is an apostate religion. Her color is green. I mean, even though she's wearing red, her national color is green. She loves to kill people who disobey with her religious thoughts by chopping off their heads, by beheading them. She has chants that are required by her people to chant so many times per day through the day. This is this idolatrous woman who is the religion that is riding the 10 nations and actually got the supreme leader put in place. Well, with that, I want to kind of describe it one other way for you. Chapters 5 through 18 have revealed to us some of the layers that are going to happen during the time of the 7 years of tribulation. It talks about some entities that are put in place. 11 entities are described to us in those 14 chapters. 11. All 11 entities are in place at the beginning of the tribulation time as they transition from the church in the tribulation time. Three of those entities survive those entities, I'm sorry, are destroyed by the end of the tribulation time. Three of them will not make it. One entity did deliver a special message to John, and that's over with and that's done. What also happens is even though the Lord presents each entity in a separate story, each story covers the entire period of the tribulation, and each intermingles with the stories of the other entities. And so 2 weeks ago, when I was making sure this was laid out, I invited one of our fine deacons I won't name him by name, Tom Joyce, who's sitting right over here. Where's Tom? He came to my office, and I read through this material with him. I said, Tom, does this make sense to you? And he goes, no. And I explained it to him, and I said, think about it. And so about 30 minutes later, he stopped back in my office. He says, I've got it. Explain it like this. It's like cogs on a wheel in a clock. And so you see over here the picture, and I took it. Think about the middle as being the tribulation. And we have the trumps that are over here. If the middle turns, the gear of the tribulation, of the trumps are going to turn. The gear of the seals are going to turn. The gear of the bowls are going to turn. The idolatrous woman is going to turn. The 144,000 is going to turn. The witnesses are going to turn. The two beasts are going to turn. They operate together just like I was explaining to you a while ago. These are layers and stories that are happening out there, but they all turn and happen together. And when they turn just right, the same earthquake occurs in the same place every time. The same stars falling from heaven occur in the same place at the same time. And that's what we're trying to get. Well, with that in place, I want us to begin, and we're going to summarize and harmonize the tribulation period, really just the first 3.5 years. And we're not going to get all the way through it. If you see on the left-hand side of your page, it's got the purple bar that's going down. That's our timeline. That tells us what period of time we're in. If we were in the church age, it would be yellow with the word church in it. But it's not. It's purple, and it's got the word tribulation in it. So as long as that bar is down on that side of the page, you know I'm talking about the tribulation time. You see in the next column there, you see scriptures. I want to encourage you to go get your Bible and to read Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 11, 2 Thessalonians 2, Revelation 6, Matthew 24, Luke 2, and Zechariah 5. Those passages of Scripture are the passages that I used that fit all of this timeline at this place to go with this paragraph that is written out to the left-hand side of it. You'll notice underneath that I've put seal one. It's a piece of paper right there with a seal that's on it, going to be broken. That seal one we know is the white horse rider. So I have given you the picture of him that I drew that we've already seen last week. And we've explained the crown in part one. We explained the crown and bow and what it means. You also see beast one who showed up. That's that terrible leader. And you see beast two, that's the religious false prophet that has showed up. That's going to be involved in what we're talking about here. So as we start the summary, the entities are in place, everything's in place, and we're ready to talk about what's occurring in the tribulation period. We're there finally. After all this time, going slow, we're there. Israel's treaty with the leader of the revived Roman Empire is in place. The church is gone and the treaty is in place. The leader will gain his power and position because of the influence of the cleric or minister of the apostate religion that will dominate the 10 nations that make up his empire. He will present himself as a diplomat. The white horse rider who offers the nation of Israel protection and relief from her years of attack that began back in 70 AD at the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. All is prophesied. Although he appears to be trustworthy, his war wounds gained while killing three presidents in his rise to power indicate that peace may not be his main agenda. When you read those passages of Scripture, you're going to find out that he has a deadly wound to his head and he's blind. Now, he may not have a cover over his eye, but the one thing that we will know is whenever the supreme leader is in place of these 10 nations, he will be blind in one eye with the scars and the wound that he obtained while he was coming to power. Next. I encourage you to read Revelation 17, 2 Thessalonians 2, Zechariah 5 again, Genesis 25, because this story goes back to Genesis 25, Malachi 1, Romans, that's chapter 1, Romans 9, and Daniel 7. Read the entire chapters. Don't just go grab verses. Read the entire chapters. Do you realize how long this lesson would be if I was reading those chapters to you? Do you therefore at home instead of here? You see that flag with the crescent and the star? See the color of it's green. That's one of the flags of Islam today, the apostate religion. The religion that will attack, that will back, I'm sorry, the leader, the beast of the revived Roman Empire is symbolized by the idolatrous woman who sits on many waters, seven mountains, and many cities. What does that mean? It means that she controls more than just the revived Roman Empire. Her religious influence is over many, many other areas, all that have been part of the old Babylon, have all controlled the old Babylonian land sometime. What empires have controlled the Babylonian land? The Greek Empire did. Well, let me just back up and get it from the beginning. First of all, the first empire to control the Babylonian land was the Egyptian Empire. That was followed by the Assyrian Empire, then the Babylonian Empire, then the Persian Empire, then the Greek Empire, then the Roman Empire, although it began to lose it quickly. And finally, by the time the Roman Empire was gone, it did not control any of that land, but it had it one time. Pretty important. She is the great apostate religion who began in an area that was known at Babylon in the 600s when she began. That area land was called an area, part of Babylon at the time, the countryside of Babylon, not the city of Babylon. They're two different things. You've got the empire of Babylon, you've got the nation of Babylon, and you've got the city of Babylon. You actually have three things. In that Babylonian area that was controlled by those people, there was a temple that was established there to her, and it was there in a town that the name is now called Mecca today. The descendants of Ishmael dominated the area in that day, as well as most of the followers being his descendants, and his descendants and the descendants of his son-in-law and his daughter Esau. So because it's his daughter and Esau, it is the daughters, the sons and daughters of Ishmael. They're all descendants, and they are now the majority of the people who are involved and in the apostate religion called Islam. The descendants are there. They are in place. Well, the descendants of Ishmael dominated that area in that day. Most of them are there. And it's a son-in-law there of Esau. Who was Esau? Esau was Jacob's brother. Remember what happened with Jacob and Esau? They were fighting against each other in the womb of Rebekah. With Esau's descendant composing the majority of her religion, and Jacob's descendants comprising the nation of Judaism, it is clearly a continuation of the constant struggle that was foretold about the two babies being two nations in the womb of Rebekah, conceived there in her womb, and was foretold to be in constant battle for the rest of the time here on earth. Fact, in that struggle, the Lord makes this statement, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. The Lord hates apostate religions. That religion today is called Islam. She has spilled the blood of many saints through the ages, and she will kill many during the 7 years of tribulation. She will ride the revived Roman Empire hard with her white horse rider as the head over all the 10 countries that comprise his empire and the 7 vice presidents that are underneath him. She will have had total control of all the leaders and people of the revived Roman Empire well before its formation. Well before its formation. May I remind you of what the major dominant religion in the state or country of Turkey is today? It is Islam. What is the major dominant religion of the state or country of Syria? Islam. What is the major dominant religion of the state or country of Egypt? Islam. What is the major dominant religion of the countries of Morocco, Libya, and Algeria that must come back together? Islam. What is the major dominant religion of the country of Macedonia? Islam. Although the major religion of Greece is supposed to be the Greek Orthodox Church, what is the major dominant religion in Greece today? Islam. What is the major dominant religion in France today? Islam. What is the major dominant religion that is taking back over the country of Spain? Islam. What is the major dominant religion that even has Sharia law being in effect in Britain? Islam. It is there. And it's coming in this Islamic movement by the hundreds of thousands are moving into these countries. And they will have a cleric. They have a cleric right now that they all follow. And that cleric is the one who will get those 10 nations to join back together. Knowing the scripture or not knowing the scripture, it does not matter. It will happen because the Lord has prophesied it. Those 10 nations will come back together. And that cleric, that minister of Islam, will present a candidate for the supreme ruler, and he'll be voted in. And he's going to begin as a white horse rider, coming out to save the day without firing a single shot. But that will not last long. She will be the one, Islam, who will give, or the adulterous woman, the white horse rider his initial power to rule as long as he will wage war against, according to Scripture, the Lamb of God. That's all she wants, is war raged against the Lamb of God. Those people who are against the tenets of her faith. Secretly, though, the white horse rider will hate this idolatrous woman. Secretly. He doesn't like her. But he allows her to control him for a while so he can get the power. He will hate all religions. Well, with that, with the signing of the treaty, Israel will let down her guard, and we don't know why. Israel will let down her guard, and she will concentrate on planting crops for her people. She will continue to act self-sufficiently, and she will fail to accept the Lord as her Savior. Nevertheless, the Lord will select this 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each original tribe, and will place a seal of protection on them. They will belong to Him, and no one can harm them.